Okay, we'll call this meeting to order at 6:30. Our mayor is in Chicago due for a Phoenix Award for with Cindy for EPA on the East Helena cleanup. I'm not sure if they asked him to speak or if they
Very
asked him to
minimally
be there.
speak.
So,
Very
but
minimally speak.
yeah, okay. Anyway, it was nice award. So,
Yeah.
anyway, Pledge of Allegiance, Councilman Feist.
Pledge allegiance
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. First order of business is the public hearing. We have a resolution to modify existing lighting district 101. Is there any public comment?
Do you want me to introduce it though?
Yeah, maybe you should go through and add this.
So this resolution would be to modify what is already an existing lighting district and just add the current phases to Highland Meadows. So as the subdivision is built out and they add more street lights, we just wrap those street lights in the new boundary and the new part of the subdivision that's getting homes into the existing lighting district. And in this case, it would be everyone's assessment that was getting assessed prior is going down by 22 cents a month. The assessment's new for those new houses in the new phase. We did a resolution of intent, and tonight's the actual resolution. So everyone got the mailers. Amy, did you tabulate how many? Are these the only four protests we received in writing? So it looks like we did receive one, and that one was from a resident at 307 Sutherland Court. This one is for, I assume it looks like both. I it is both. And that one is at 315 Lamont Court. We have another one here. These are all Highland Meadows folks for. Looks like potentially the streets, and I'll let maybe Mr. and Mrs. Carlson, are y'all present? They only mentioned the street maintenance, so I'm not quite sure. It doesn't look like they're projecting to the lighting district. And then finally, 304 Tom O. Shatner Court. And again, this just looks like street maintenance, but that was for a Mr. Mercado, who is present. So. Under state law, we gave the appropriate timeline, listened, gave them the opportunity to protest, had to be in writing, had to be signed by the actual owner of the property, and it needed to be over 50% of those assessed in order to stop you from being able to approve it tonight, the final resolution. The street lighting district is 50% is far more than four, so. That's the introduction if you want to do public comment.
Yeah. Okay. Now we'll do public comment. If anybody would like to speak up, could we have you go to the podium so they can hear you on the.
Yeah, I'm not on. Okay. No, you're not. That's not at Highland. They're only talking.
So there's two. There's Highland Meadows and there's Vigilante. So those are the two subdivisions.
Okay.
So this
You're
one,
vigilante?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody from Highland like to speak?
We're all. Okay.
Okay.
We'll work out. The only issue I have with it is right now we have the HOA billing for the street maintenance. We don't really know what they're maintaining and what the city's going to take over for. Is there a way to know?
I can speak to that the best I can. I don't know what your HOA is covering. I assume it's part of the beautiful. So this is Highland Meadows. I think it must be the the beautification stuff that they're doing,
The only thing I know that the HOA is committed to as far as maintenance is they are going to do a beautification project of the front two retention ponds into that subdivision when you come off of Valley Drive. And they've committed that they'll pay the water bill and maintain that. And that's paying them more. But as far as street maintenance and stuff, they do, I don't believe they do any of
So
that.
they
It's done
haven't.
by the city.
I mean, the only issue I have with them is that, and we moved there in 2022, and you pay your HOA dues, and they're promising that, I mean, in the covenants they say that they're going to do maintenance of what they call the common areas and snow removal and all that stuff. We still haven't had. I mean, I'm going to take it with the HOA at some point, but I'm just concerned about possibly double paying for maintenance that because they're supposed to be taken care of.
So I'll address both. Just we're on lighting, but
Yep.
I'll address both. The HOAs are an outside. We don't regulate that. They do through the subdivision process provide us a copy of what they're going to do, but that is a civil contract that y'all enter into. It is
Okay.
nothing through the city. We don't have any oversight of it. I will say street maintenance includes sidewalks, it includes signage. It also snow removal is a big one out there with
Yeah.
those cul-de-sacs and things. There's a cost associated with trying to collect that in the center, and then we've actually been trucking it out when necessary. So I don't know what and if they are double charging you and where those funds are going, but that is definitely something to go through your
Yeah,
HOA.
I'll take it up to the HOA.
Okay.
So just to clarify, the developer did transfer the properties are going to be maintained to the city, right?
Yes, and I will say that these two subdivisions are the only that they're brand new. They will be chip sealed around the 5 to 7 year mark, depending on the funds. That's the plan. That's where the rates are set, where they're at. The rest of the city, in any, it's crack filling. What do they call that?
Correct.
Crack filling. So they crack fill and then they come through and they chip seal it. So your roads, the rest of the town, you've noticed, doesn't have that. We just don't have the funds to do it, but your streets will never deteriorate the way the rest of the town has.
And
So.
then I saw on the map, I don't have a copy of the resolution, but there was a map attached to it. There we go. I have it now. So the city owned parcels, the ones that are looks like they're crisscrossed all over the place.
Retention ponds is what those are. Yep.
And those are owned by the city right now?
They're owned by the city, and we're going to mow them and maintain access so that your storm water doesn't collect again. If you've
Okay.
been in Old East Helena during a rainstorm.
And that includes that little pond next to the model house at the beginning of the subdivision. Looks like a couple of trails in between.
The front two are the ones that the homeowners association is. That beautification project was supposed to happen with phase four, but it'll happen now with phase five.
Yeah. So it looks what I'm, I mean, what I'm trying to figure out is exactly what the HOA owns right now. I mean, I don't have my issues not with the city here. I'm
Yeah.
just here to clarify and
So once we get to the final phase, I expect another couple lots like that. And I think that whole frontage along Valley Drive will be grassed and sprinkled and maintained and beautified so that and the HOA or the subdivider has agreed. Now, if you guys do something through your HOA, just come back and let us know so we can take some action there. But
All right. I just wanted to, again, we're kind of in the dark with these people.
oh yeah.
That's another battle. I'm probably going to have to get on with them because.
And I think management of the HOA will shift once the lots are sold to individual owners. The subdivider currently probably initially owned the majority of the lots, so they set the bylaws and probably
Yeah,
staff the board.
they're still under the initial board, the
Right.
incorporating board.
So you guys will just have to be active in that, and which is the challenge with HOA, as I'm aware.
Yep, it is. All right. Other than that, I have no objection to it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
There any other public comment?
The only other thing that I wanted to ask about
Excuse
Titan
me.
Metals, my name is
Could you
Lisa Hoffa,
and your
and
address?
We actually own three properties in Highland Meadows. 305, 316 Loman Court, and 210 Kinross. So our main question is, so the funds are collected through the property taxes, right?
They're on their property taxes, yes, ma'am.
And then is there some kind of transparency
where we can see that it is actually saved for the reason that it's collected?
Yes, ma'am. So, and I'll let Amy, the city clerk treasurer, talk to that. But all these funds have to go towards, again, these are the only lighting districts and street maintenance districts, but they're separately accounted for in a different fund within the city. And the lighting one's pretty easy because Northwest Energy tells us what they're going to charge us. And luckily, those are new lampposts with, you know, LED lights and things, which when the rest of the city got those, our lighting bills went way down when that happened. I think it was a 50% reduction almost in our electrical bills for our streetlights. So you guys have those initially. But yeah, anytime you want to come in and talk to Amy, she can show you the full accounting of that.
And for the street maintenance and what?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
Yep.
That was it. Thank
it's a totally separate fund. Amy's great.
Yeah, not the general. Doesn't go in.
No, no, no. It won't help anyone but the folks paying it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other public comment?
A couple of things. I do want to emphasize this. The lighting districts are both decreasing in price, which is a good thing. And glad that Northwestern has been helpful with that. The other is to address Mr. Mercado's concerns. When these subdivisions were created, I raised concerns and spoke to the city attorney about what ability we had to, I don't know what the right word is. Monitor is not the right word, but HOAs can get out of control and what they're providing to you. They don't have to be as transparent as the municipal governments have to be, unfortunately. And we see it and have seen it throughout the East Helena area where HOAs don't take care of what they should promise they would. And we have little to no authority to do anything about it. Oh, yeah. And so I encourage you all to raise your concerns to your HOA to make sure that you do know what they're paying for. Where we can show you, we can prove it, we can show you the accounting on demand. That's what we are here for. And I raised those concerns initially, and we have no authority to do anything about them if they're created and the way they were created, because none of you live there yet. And so different than a group of folks that live in a residential community now that would have to create their own and get all of that buy-in. It was different within the new subdivision. So just a piece of that to, I would encourage you to make sure you know what they're charging you and to make sure that they update that. If they're telling you they're doing road maintenance, what does that include? Where Kevin can tell you on the daily what road maintenance is including. So I appreciate the questions, and I think it's good and helpful that folks are here asking questions.
Anything else?
On that, I'll move to approve resolution number 101 to reduce the lighting district rate.
Just for point of clarification, it's resolution 624. Sorry. For lighting district 101.
I'm sorry. Yes, resolution 624 for lighting district 101.
I'll second it.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to resolution, our lighting district 201, which is resolution 625.
So this is, yes, modifying existing lighting district 201. So this is vigilante, the same spiel. In this one, it's going down 6 cents a month. And again, it's just capturing that, I forget the name of the road on the, just the extension north of the retention slash park. I forget the name of the street. But it's
excuse me, sir.
Sarah Avenue. Yeah. So the top portion there, just capturing those lights that went in with that. And we weren't actually able to assess that last year because the way the time that they platted and got final plat and they got sent up to the Department of Revenue, it just hadn't been processed there. So we didn't have tax ID numbers for the lots. So this change should have gone into effect last year. We just couldn't do it because we couldn't assess it because we didn't have the. So you guys got off. 6 cents a month for the last 18 months or so. I digress. It's going down 6 cents. It's just capturing the additional residents and the additional light posts. And again, these are assessed based on the energy costs we get from Northwestern Energy. So,
are your additional light posts that are already in?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I believe it's at the corner there, and there's one up by the park, I think. It's fairly, they've been there for a while. We just haven't. Yes, sir.
Any public comment on Lightning District 201? Yes.
So I guess just point of clarification. So the 7
New light poles. My name is Jim McNichol, 2856 Ashley. They're not, in fact, new, not yet installed. They are the ones that were installed 2 years ago when so-called phase three roads and lights were installed.
Yes, sir.
That's the ones we're talking about.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And so are we just talking about future maintenance costs associated with those lights and or energy costs associated with those lights? Or are we talking about the capital expense associated with the original installation of the lights?
Just maintenance and energy, sir, and predominantly energy, I think is almost all of it.
So you said the cost relative to the resolution that was approved 2 years ago when phase two was incorporated into phase one lighting district was, what did you say, six cents or something?
You're going down six, everyone's assessment. So the people that were paying prior, their assessment will go down 6 cents. All the new residents who weren't in the initial, just the phase one folks that we got on the, when we initially adopted it, those new residents, this is a new assessment that they've not been paying for the last year or so.
So on the spreadsheet where it says $143 per year.
Yes, sir.
If I went back and looked at the paperwork of 2 years ago, the 143 is replacing a number that would have also been pretty close to 143.
Yes, sir. So this year it's 143.61. And I didn't do the math myself. The public works director did. So last year, or the last time we assessed it was 143.55. So, okay. Sorry, 72. I need to add 6 cents. So it's actually going down 6 cents. Sorry.
I thought it was 6 cents a month.
A month, sorry, it's times 12.
The only other confusing thing there is you look at those is when we originally did Vigilante and Highland Meadows for the lighting districts, we reported as a monthly value instead of an annual value. So just keep that in mind. When you look at those original ones, it shows like, you know, the $12 or whatever, but it's a monthly value instead of that annual value. Okay. So just divide it by 12, obviously.
And just looking down the road, construction of phase four has begun. I don't know if everybody's aware of that, but there's a lot of earthwork going on in the Vigilante subdivision. I believe it's referred to as phase four.
Vigilante West? Vigilante West, I think is what it's
Vigilante.
A new subdivision. Yeah, yes. Sir.
So maybe sometime in the future, we'll be back here in a couple of years talking about modifying this lighting district.
Perhaps not to hassle you, we might just start a new lighting district for Vigilante West so you guys don't have to come back and we just, okay. It's more for her to maintain. But it's less mail that we have to send out and less hassle for you guys to less confusion because we're not creating a new district. We're just adding new lights. It is a new subdivision. It is separate. It's going to be accessed by the road that cuts across. And I'm sorry, by Lizzie. It's going to be accessed by Lizzie and Plant Road.
So both of those roads are part of our current subdivision. So
yes.
I think most of us were thinking it's just another extension of our current subdivision.
Technically, they have to come back for a new annexation process.
Oh, really? So it's not presently annexed into the city?
No, sir.
Okay, that's good information for me anyway.
Yeah.
I appreciate you answering my questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any more public comment? Council?
I'll move to approve Resolution 625 for Lighting District 201.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's see. So we move on to existing street maintenance district 101, which would be Highland Meadows.
Thank you, Don. So this is resolution 626. Again, this was existing prior, and what we're doing again is just capturing the additional phase of the subdivision. So in Highland Meadows, our intent, typically they say for chip sealing, which is the majority of the cost in these things, is every 5 to 7 years or so. And I think we're planning right at the, and Kevin, I'm looking at you, seven years is what we're planning on. We're not going to be overly aggressive. We don't want to keep the cost too high and do it every 5 years, but every seven is our intent. The problem with chip sealing is, with costs with everything. So it's going up $4.30 per resident per month or per property per month. And that's predominantly due to the costs that we're getting back on bids on oil and the material that goes into chip sealing. But again, just adding, it's not even adding a new street. It's just the lower part of the big one that goes around the subdivision there. So
Meadowview Loop.
Meadowview Loop, yes, sir, that's the one. So the big one that goes, it's just that last phase as it continues to carry on. So we're not adding any street, we're just the extension of that street as it continues to go, adding those homes to it. And again, there are no funds in the city's budget. We typically spend, and again, Kevin, around 90,000, maybe 100,000. The public works director would know better than I on the street maintenance for the rest of the city. That's why our city streets, we don't, with that amount of money annually, there's not enough to chip seal, let alone there's barely enough to pothole and fix the issues we have, let alone chip seal. So this is proper maintenance that in front of your homes, your streets will be perpetually maintained. And you're not going to have the issues that we have around the rest of the town.
That comes out of our tax base, you said.
Yes, ma'am. And you'll see it right on your assessment when you see your tax bill. It'll just be a line item on there, and those figures will match what you see here on these resolutions.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Will they actually say like road maintenance district 101 or
You
whatever?
should, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep. So you should be able to track it. And again, they're set at current costs. So once we start getting bids and things, I mean, we're all subject to the same pressures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may. Well, and there's a.
I was just like Texas.
There's some guesstimation that goes into it. We can try to estimate the number of snow years because, again, in Highland Meadows, we're estimating for a certain number of snowfalls where we're going to have to get the accumulation of snow and actually trucking the snow out of those cul-de-sacs. One, it creates a parking issue and a safety issue for fire trucks. It's also just difficult to get out of there. There's nowhere to put it with how tight the homes are, just the way that all the angled fronts of the houses in there. There's not as much space to put the snow. So it becomes a safety issue. However, the last couple of years, it's been lower, meaning we've not had to do that as much. So the cost has not been as high on snow removal. But again, that's a fairly nominal cost compared to the chip sealing effort that we're going to try to maintain for y'all every 7 years.
Is there
But
any other?
we did have some protests here on that. So
Yes.
the same, I think, for.
Any other public comment on it? No, council?
Just want to make a point with this one as well. When these new subdivisions came in, East Helena had not created a new subdivision in a very, very long time. And the newest subdivision that was created didn't even have paved roads because the city couldn't afford to help maintain that. So I think that the point of for old East Helena residents, having special improvement districts like this was critical to their interest in buying into our new subdivisions so that the road maintenance wasn't just then paid for by residents who've been paying taxes for years and years. The other benefit, and I live in Old East Helena, is you will definitely have nice roads and you have curb and gutter and you have all of the proper things that most of us don't otherwise. So hopefully you'll see the difference. And I would encourage you that if you don't, to raise that concern now or in the future. But that was important to folks that before the residences were built and before the subdivisions were created.
And just to the prior comment, there is, I mean, we line item again our best guess as to what we're going to be charging. And so there is storage pond maintenance, sir, to your question whether HOA is doing, like it's part of your assessment here. It's our intent to do that. And Kevin, do you want to talk about what that includes? We're mowing
So,
them.
yeah, so the storage ponds right now, I admit they're, it was definitely a learning curve. Hindsight's always easy. Going forward, we're going to require those developers. We've changed our engineering standards to where they're landscaped better than what we've been dealt with. So our current plan with those is to go in, topsoil the edges, riprap the bottom with just some nice river rock, and then they'll just be mowable and look a lot better than they do currently now. And then there's also some dedicated park land in there that's separate, but that's the plan with those retention ponds is to make them to where, you know, our part-time high school kid that mows a cemetery for us can run around them with a weed eater and mower, and they'll look nice, and we'll spray them for weed once a year in the bottom, and that'll be it.
Yep. So if we're getting double dipped, come back and ask us what we're doing, and Kevin's got the answer, I promise.
Motion to approve Resolution 626 to modify the street maintenance district 101.
Motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. On to Street Maintenance District 201, which would be Vigilante Dennis.
In this case, this is Resolution 627, Vigilante. The assessment's going up $1.77 for current residents. And again, it's a new assessment for those folks at the north part of that road. I don't know how much to continue hitting on it, but we do. There is that maintenance pond up at the top, which is actually going to be dedicated as park space. So hopefully some improvements there for a park. It says
that corner of Sarah and Tree Rise in the far north west corner of that parcel.
It's going to be a pond. I thought it was a pond for runoff.
Half of it's a pond.
Oh, east side.
Pond is technically part of the park. The subdividers, we have limited authority on what we can say no to. We did make sure that the bottom portion is where we intend to hopefully have a playset and things as that subdivision is filled with families and things, or just picnic tables or just grass, kind of depending on what the community wants, frankly. And the pond is graded to a level, so we our control of our water retention plan is that it's mowable. And there are parks in the city of Helena that do the same thing. And my kids have actually played and ride their bike down it all the time and things. Right. But it'll be grassed, eventually sprinkled, and look and feel like a park, hopefully. But again, that'll be an open process where we talk to the residents living there and what they want to see there.
Any public comment?
We're talking about street maintenance.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have your name and address for the
do
record.
Do I have to stand up there?
The microphone
yeah,
catches.
The microphone's there. So.
Okay. Hey, Ann Stone, 2861 Sarah. So they're extending Lizzie and our street on Sarah. And Lizzie has been torn up for a month and a half now. And just wondering.
Due to the construction of the new subdivision?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's just like, is the city doing that work? Or is it the developer that's making those roads?
It's the developer. And if there's damage to our current roads, the public works director can chat with
there them. Is.
So that, right. So at that intersection, they have to tie in water and sewer, obviously, to that existing infrastructure.
But it looks like they're done doing that.
Yeah, once they tie that in, then they'll come back and they'll do all the paving and surface repair all in one.
And when do they plan on coming back?
I don't know what their timeline is, other than they're shooting for final plat by the end of this year. So it'll be this fall. So paving, typically by the first part of October, it's getting too cold to pave. So I would think within the next couple of months, but I haven't seen a specific timeline for that stuff, but it'll be soon.
And who's paying for that?
The developer.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all part of
it's been a
West.
Real wreck and a real mess.
Yeah.
It's kind of where you're going to find that out.
Yeah, I would think by the first part of October, all that infrastructure will be in.
Any other public comment? Back to the council. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Again, Jim McNichol, 2856, actually. Just related to that, I'm glad to hear, Kevin, that the developer is going to pay for the cost of excavating and the repaving necessary for streets that are really quite new. And it's a little bit interesting to me that with knowledge that eventual phase four or Vigilante West was going to be developed at some point, why those water and sewer ties maybe weren't incorporated, you know, previously, so that new roads didn't have to be torn up and then reconstructed. But as long as the developer is paying for that, including the paving to restore the street to its new condition.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So I don't, are they going all the way to the intersection or at Lizzie and Sarah?
That's where the excavation happened.
So initially, they didn't own that parcel to the side there when they put that initial infrastructure in. And we can't have a dead end on a water line because we need circulation of the water. So you can't have a dead end down there. And it's just an additional cost if they weren't able to acquire it. I think from the fact that they did stub out the road. That was always their hope. But at the time they platted this thing or actually went through the subdivision process, they didn't own that parcel.
They had two homes on each side, though.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
There was also a lot of, I mean, they were trying to buy further property that Vigilante West was originally supposed to be quite a bit larger, mm-hmm. and they never could come to agreements with the current property owner. So I think for the developer, it was just a financial decision of, you know, how he wanted to proceed, and that's what he chose to do.
Okay. As long as it's covered financially.
Yes, sir.
But I guess related to that, and that's the reason why I asked to stand up. We still have a lot of building going on in our neighborhood, and some contractors are really great about it. They're good stewards. They pick up their lots. If they damage curbs, they fix them, you know, et cetera. But there's a handful of others that don't do that. They actually break sidewalks. They break curbs. And I just wonder who pays to have those sidewalks and curbs fixed. Is that coming out of a maintenance fund that taxpayers are funding
if you
through
catch
this
them,
maintenance district?
If you catch them as they do it, let us know and we'll approach them.
So I would encourage the city to the extent that they can, to kind of monitor those ongoing construction activities, and maybe you all can catch some of that when it happens as well.
I think we catch the big stuff, but if it's not visible from the street, we're not walking in the neighborhood, but if y'all could help us, that would be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any more public comment? Al Council.
I'll move to approve that. Vigilante Street Maintenance District 201.
Have a motion?
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. All right. Well, we're on to public comment. This time is set aside for comments from the public on matters that are not on the meeting agenda. Public comments will take on agenda items prior to a motion. All public comments will be limited to a reasonable duration. Prior to your comments, please state your name and address in an audible tone for the record. Anybody want to talk about anything else? All right, moving on. In approval of the minutes from, July 15th meeting. Any additions or corrections?
Once you're done, public comment. I have a comment.
What, you have a comment on?
Once you call for public comment, then I will.
Oh, on?
On the minutes.
On the minutes, okay. Yes. Public comment on the minutes. Is there any public comment on the minutes? We'll go for that. Okay, council.
And just a correction on the portion, what I reported, it was not the final MOAT meeting or Montana Opioid Trust meeting. It was just the last one that I attended.
Oh,
so there will be more.
Last
attended.
Previous one.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear that it is definitely not the final one. Other than that, I have no other comments. And I'll move to approve with correction.
It's been approved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. City court report. I did not. Oh, there it is. It's in the packet from the judge. Let's see. Department reports. Amy, clerk treasurer.
We are starting to get our fall rush of building permits. Contractors wanting to get their foundations in so they can work on these houses all winter. We just had four or five just today. The pool season's winding up. Their last day will be August 10th, and then we gotta send all our guards back to college and high school. And park rentals. I would say this is our biggest year for park rentals. August is just packed, and there's been more going on in Main Street Park this year, I think, than any year. And that's what's been keeping us busy, unless you have questions.
You gotten the gas tax yet?
Yes. They just sent an email at 5:09.
Oh, tonight?
That it was available, so I haven't gotten to look at it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you send that out when you know what it is, please? That's what we get for all these paved roads, to help maintain other things within the city. So if you're wondering what that is, and seems late this year.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Police department. Police chief. Sanders.
Good evening, everybody. Good to be back.
I haven't seen you for a while.
Moving a little slow still, but in July, we had 578 calls for service. It's an all-time high. And just to put that into perspective, when the officers put together some figures, Helena Police Department had 2,616 calls for service. They've got about 42 officers on patrol. It averages out to be about 62 calls for service per officer for the month of July. Sheriff's Office had 1,691 calls for service. Just say that they've got 42 deputies on patrol. Averages out to be about 40 calls for service per deputy for the month. Well, with us, with 578, we had four officers. It's 144 calls for service per officer in the month of July. So if you're wondering if the police department's working, they're working in that sense. So on July 16th, Deputy Royce attended the quarterly Missouri River Drug Task Force meeting. There was nothing significant. They just put out some their financials and some of the case updates and things like that. And then on the 17th, the whole East Holland Police Department attended a legal update with the county attorney's office. Guess it was a good meeting, good training conversation. County attorney's office gave some legal updates and whatnot that happened in the most recent legislature and whatnot. So, and on Sunday, Officer Kirkgaard went over to Anaconda and assisted the sheriff's office over in the manhunt of the suspect Michael Brown, who's wanted for the murder of the four people in Anaconda at the Palomar. Thanks, Officer Kirkgaard, for going over there. He spent a lot of time over that day, over there that day. Didn't get back. I think he left here at 4:30 in the morning. Didn't get back here till about midnight. So it was a very long day, and said it was very eye opening, and it was nice. I think that's probably the first time the East Holland Police Department's been able to send somebody over to assist another law enforcement agency in a manhunt situation. So great work, Chris. Thank you very much for that. Good news is, it looks like we may be able to get reimbursed for Chris's overtime and things like that as well. Sounds like the governor did some work today and received some paperwork and whatnot to where he's got to fill out and send back to the Anaconda Police Department and hopefully to reimburse for his time.
Nice.
And then today, Deputy Chief Royce and Officer Zach Butler, they spoke with the driver's education class. I spent about an hour with them today. We'll just say some were very engaged and some were probably not. But they said it was, they talked about, driving safety and things like that, things to be aware of, and then kind of what happens when you're pulled over by an East Holland police officer, the safe things to how to respond appropriately and things that they'll ask for and whatnot. But anyway, both of them said it was a really good time and was fun and productive. So that's all I have. Any questions?
Thank you. Public Works.
All right. It's starting getting too hot. We can turn on that AC, but it's part of the year over. So start sweating, it'll out turn it. Just a few things. You guys have my reports. It's been a crazy couple of weeks of things failing and breaking, mostly just due to all the electrical stuff we've had going on with all the thunderstorms and things. But to start with, Shane's been working with engineer Jeremy Perlinski on the wastewater plant. If you remember, about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago now, we had the wasting gates fail out there, which didn't allow Shane to waste. It caused that reaction basin to really get turned over. And what we've realized is, if you remember a year ago, we drained that basin down. brought out a fire truck and hosed all that old sludge down the best we could. That sludge is still horrible. So we're doing that again. I did notice the mailboxes and stuff at Vigilante and Highland Meadows. And we also door hangered some residents in La Casa Grande that face Valley Drive just from the predominant winds. But if there's abnormal super orders this week, they should be gone by probably Saturday. That lagoon will be filled back up. We're just trying to get rid of that sludge the best we can. And again, 25 years of sludge building up in there. So it's not a surprise, but that's what we're working on. It's not a fun job for the guys to do, but they're keeping a smile on their face and doing it. So, and I'm trying to keep a fire truck clean. Just saying. Roger, you're going to have to talk about borrowing the truck. Mogul is digging the, replacing the sewer over here at the intersection of Rochelle and Valley. Again, if you remember, that's where we had that collapse happen. That's been an issue. Originally, we were hoping 2 days. Once we dug that, we realized that the sewer and water are way too close for DEQ's approval. So they had to do a water line adjustment. So they just finished the water line adjustment tonight. So they'll start on the sewer actually tomorrow. So hopefully by the end of the week, that'll be all back together. Intersection will just be brought up to grade with road mix for now. Next week, we're digging the bad water valve that's at Dudley and Valley and getting that replaced. And then the following week of the 18th, Hell in a Sand will be in to make all that pavement repair prior to the following week when school starts. So it should all be back together and go in there. The biggest thing we have to talk about is the PLC panel at Wiley 3 finally failed. We've known this is coming again. It's almost 30 years old. It's the original panel at Wiley 3. It controls the entire Wiley system. It also sends the signals for all of the drinking water. So everything goes to Wiley, bounces back up via radio to McCollin Creek and into town. So when we lose that PLC, we lose our drinking water system. So major piece of infrastructure. It was something where my long-term plan was, if you remember, we have some money left over from the McCollin Creek tank projects and also from METG that they have committed to making some upgrades there. Our hope was to do those upgrades all in one, you know, bigger project. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that. So luckily, Dennis was able to build a panel. It's about $60,000. The new panel's in. We're just going to, you know, use some of those funds faster than we really had planned on. It's fine. You know, we're not out anything. It's just faster than we wanted to move. But thanks to MET and their ability to work so well with us and keep us going. And that is it. Yeah, the only other thing I have to talk about was just that water valve that we already talked about. So questions, Council?
While we have an audience, can you give us any update you may have on Build Grant or Valley Drive?
Oh, yeah. So Build Grant for Valley Drive, we submitted the draft application for comments. They've gotten back to us with a whole slew of comments. Most of them are, it's a weird application. So you pick from a drop-down box and they're things you pick from, and some of their comments where they didn't like the things we picked. So we're working through those comments back. I have a meeting tomorrow with that. The good thing is it's moving ahead. So just remember, on average, they say it takes 385 days to get a signed agreement with them. And we had to start over with this new administration. So basically from, oh, I don't know, mid part of last month, we're starting over. So if we move the quickest that on average it takes by the end of, you know, end of spring, early next summer, we'll have signed agreements where we can then start drawing on those funds and start designing Valley Drive and make those improvements. So still shooting for summer of 27 for the first phase, which would be Plant Road to Dudley. And then second phase, summer 28 from Dudley to Highway 12. Potentially, if MDT approves a roundabout here at Valley and Main Street, that could go into summer of 27. That might be a construction season all in itself. But it's moving ahead. We just got to get through all the red tape of the paperwork.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you have a question to interrupt?
No, I just curiosity. You were talking about the sludge and you were pushing it down with the fire truck. Do you then have to haul it off?
Yeah. So that reaction basin, it's basically a big V,
yeah,
or sludge holding basin, whichever one it is. So it's a big V. And then in the bottom, there's literally a gravity fed trough. That's where Shane runs the sludge out, yeah, into the drying bed. So literally, as gross as it sounds, all the poop that the bugs can't eat,
yeah,
goes into that basin. And we run it into those beds and it dries, and then we scoop it up with a front end loader and haul it to the dump. So our hope, if your sludge gets too built up, what you have to do is dig out your lagoons, which is millions and millions of dollars. Our hope is that we can continue to wash that down more and get out of there. And, you know, hindsight's always easy. It's just that previous operators saw that were hauling enough sludge over the years. And they would haul 20, 30 tons a year, where, you know, they needed to be hauling 100 to 200 tons a year of sludge out of there to be keeping up with it. So, you know, again, 25 years of things building up, it's there's a lot of poop in there.
Yeah.
So well, we're getting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to the drying beds, it dries. Shane's done a great job.
My yard.
Yeah, right.
I don't
eat any vegetables from Judy's garden. Shane has done a good job getting that sludge thickening building up and operating, which they have not operated for 15 plus years. It's working great. And what that does is that injects polymer into that sludge, and it just makes it dry faster. So we can just process more sludge. Last year, I think he hauled 110 tons of sludge out of there. We'll see where we get this year, but we're shooting for that 100 to 150 again this year.
Cool. Well,
more people moving in the area, it's going to just make that worse, right?
More poop.
You're just trying to play catch up.
We are trying to play catch up. Yes.
Sounds like.
Yeah, for sure. And there are some big water plant improvements that have to be done out there. I mean, again, the plant, when it's almost at capacity and 25 years old. So, yeah, just trying to keep ahead of it a little bit.
I saw you guys out there with the fire truck last year.
Stayed clean last year. Any other questions? Okay.
I have to, how often do you test drinking water for arsenic and metal?
So we have, there's a whole slew of tests we have to do, and I'm happy to just get you that, but daily we monitor chlorine and stuff. And then monthly, there's a whole bunch. Every 6 months, lead and copper, arsenic and stuff is once a year.
So you're on a regular.
Yeah, we just have our water monitoring schedule from DEQ. Okay. So, yes, sir. Yep. Good thing is, water quality in East Helena is fantastic. And it's relatively cheap compared to a lot of communities. It's all gravity fed for us. So we got good water. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the sludge.
Seven pumps. Thank you, Kevin. Volunteer Fire Department, Chief Roger Campbell.
Good evening, everybody. Our short report for tonight. Sorry I had to leave so rapidly in the last meeting. This month, or in the month of July, we had 17 calls for service for medical, one gas leak, one fire miscellaneous, which is usually an alarm or somebody's smoke detector is going off for some reason. We just don't know why. Until we get out there. Two welfare checks, one is suspicious person, and that's usually geared towards law enforcement's calling us out because they're dealing with somebody that's having some kind of a mental crisis. So we deal with that. And then last week, during the absolute deluge downpour, we had they painted out as a fire wild. So that'd be wildland, but it was actually a tree that was on fire in the middle of the rainstorm. And it was actually rubbing on a power line, and every time it would rub, you could see it arc, and then it would light the branch on fire, and then the rain would put it out, and then it would crack. Eventually, it burned through, and the branch fell off, and then Northwest Energy came out, and they pruned it up a little bit, so it wouldn't be nice. Just for awareness, though, we do not fight those at all. We don't spray any water at power lines. That's just a no-no. So that's just fire safety for us. And again, while we have a group here tonight, just so everybody's aware, when subdivisions come down with getting approval for the subdivision, there's a process with Kevin and myself and the police department and the zoning people and the, all the other agencies that are out there that we have to deal with. And it usually ends up, we end up sitting down with having a large meeting because emails go flying around, and finally we're like, okay, everybody, let's just get together in one room. It's just easier. And we discuss all of the things that are brought up here tonight. So it's entwined into those subdivisions. And as far as I'm concerned, I live in East Helena. I'm wanting to put as much of that back on the developer as I can, instead of having it come out of my budget or Kevin's budget or the city's budgets at all. I just think that's the way it should be. And then once we take over, obviously we don't have any problem. We don't have any say in that. It just happens. So I don't want my taxes to go up anymore than anybody else's. So we have seen a surge in permits. I get those letters email to me constantly, whether it's a address one or a zoning one. I just got three today for Highland Meadow, or it's Highland Meadow. So we're down here. Yes. So I just got three new ones from them today for permits or for zoning information. I have to review all that and look at it and make sure it meets not only the zoning people do the zoning part of it, but anything that has to do with water or fire suppression that comes to me. And if I have questions, I ask Kevin because he's my go-to person. So that all happens. The other thing I would like to say is I'd like to thank Amy again personally. She keeps me out of a lot of trouble. If I have questions, I call her, and either her or Bree is on it right away, gets me an answer back. So I think they're doing a fantastic job. Thank you so much. That's it for me. Does anybody have any questions? Mind, I'm going to excuse myself with that training.
All right. Moving on to new business, 227 days, Eagle 4040. Mike?
Council member, city staff. I'm Mike Hospital with Eagles 4040 at 14 West Main. And tonight I seek your approval to again have our 227-day celebration in Main Street Park on September the 6th. One of our annual events there, of course, is we install the new bricks, update the bricks that we do, that we put in the past that have a mistake or have been broken or damaged or something. So we'll group all those things together. We'll do the bricks in the morning, and then basically in the afternoon is just a celebration. This started, of course, to be the celebration of the Incorporation Day of East Helena. But it just kind of works out. We want to coincide, of course, as best we can with the block party and kind of encourage a citywide one-day celebration. So our intent is to kind of follow the pattern we've set in the past where we have food vendors, trucks, and food tables along Main Street, along that northern edge of the park. And my wife tells me I can't call it junk vendors. They are craft vendors. Craft vendors along the street as well. So that would be on the north side. Games for the children in the southeast corner. The past, of course, we've always had brought our portable bar down, and the Eagles was the sponsor of that. And I don't know that that's going to happen exactly this year. I want to put it in to the formation and ask for permission in the event that the Eagles, since I am an Eagle, I guess I can say that, right? If we can't get off our butts and find a bartender to get it done, maybe somebody else wants to do that. So we'll put that out to the way. And then, of course, we're asked for the waiver of the fees in association with the fees of the park. Do you have any questions of me?
I think it's great, and I'm glad you do it.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Seeing none, Council?
I'll move to approve 227 days in Main Street Park and the waiver of the fee for the park for the day for the Eagles.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. We're on to the Christmas stroll. The
stage manager tonight?
Casey Williams.
She sets up by J4 during the stroll every year. And she wanted, since J4 always requests approval to use the park for that event, she requests your permission to set up there as well.
But she wants to set up by J4, not in the park. But...
In the park by J4 when in the school. Okay. Yeah.
That we just did a blanket.
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
It would make sense that we should do one person in charge and everything falls under
right. Like bank funds.
Yeah.
Is this the first year she's requested this separately?
No. Last year she did. Last year she asked after J4 secured the whole park.
Dot used to do it before. Dot B, remember the name? They used to do the blanket.
She did think that. Farmers did it.
Yeah, I think I thought she was
You didn't know that anybody did on the Christmas, ask for a blanket on the Christmas stroll.
No, J4 usually just requested it, and I think Stacia's always, last 4 years, been right by him, but she felt like she should ask too, since they do. But they will be in next meeting, J4, to request.
So should we table this? Maybe, well, we can wait for public comment.
Is there any public comment on this? We're not sure what's going on yet, either.
Can't go ahead and be by J4.
Yeah, should we table until the next meeting?
I would think we should table it.
See J4's J4 J4
and then do get with J4 and see what,
yeah,
you know, see what I've done in the past.
Right. Well, I'll move to table.
I have a motion to table. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Table. Stacy, Stacy, till next week. And let's see, we're up to resolution 628, authorizing sale of surplus property. Public Works Director.
So this is just the originally, you know, we did that first resolution getting rid of all the junk equipment that was out there. Originally, our plan was we were thinking state surplus for the remainder of this stuff, but once we have talked to our, none of this equipment runs. So once we talked to R&R Trucking and also Grizzly Trucking and got some estimates of what it was going to cost to haul the equipment to state surplus and their fees on top of it, I doubt there is very value there at all. I think we're better off just doing a scrap value again and taking it to Tri-County for scrap. So the list of equipment is on the back. And that is it. We're just trying to clean it up out there for future expansions and get rid of that stuff that's been sitting out there. So any questions?
I've been here a long time and that stuff is just, you know, it's growing wheat and it's growing roots out there.
They're so well. Good. If you haven't been out there, it looks a lot better than it did. But
yeah,
this will be the final chunk of it all.
So this will not go through state surplus?
Does not. No.
None of it?
None.
Okay.
Well, there's a garbage truck.
No garbage truck.
It's yours, too.
Is there any public comment on resolution 628? Council?
I'll move.
Approve it.
I have a motion to approve.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Wouldn't right through that. Billy didn't leave a mayor's report. Well, that's good. I have that. What's nice? Let's see. I went to the dedication for the 6 Habitat houses. Kevin and I and Kelly. It was very nice. Handed some keys out, and, you know, it's a nice area down there in Highland. So,
they have to be low income to be able.
They have to meet income guidelines. I'm not sure what it is for Habitat, but yes. Yeah. And then you have to put in your 20-80 hours, you know, to sure. Towards your build and anyway, so it's sweat equity for, it's close to what they say in the, Jacob said they're close to a year for the build. So you're, and then of course you're helping your neighbors and the other people that are doing, and the 6 that they did not, you know, you don't move. My house is done. I'm moving in. They waited until they have those 6 done, and then everybody moves in together. So they did do favors. I think there's 12 homes altogether that Habitat had lots for. So I don't know if they have any more coming up or not there, because in later on we're going to have, I guess I'll report on that too. We have a zoning meeting on August 20th. And a planning board meeting on September 10th. In the zoning meeting, this is for Rose Hills, which is the Habitat's. They're behind the next to Kemet. So the zoning is right now it's zoned industrial. So they're changing to a PUD, which is planned unit development. They will put that forward for the zoning, and then on September 20th, they will bring to the planning board to. Basically their concept that they are looking for, and we will go through that, and then it will come to the council for approval. You know, we will make a on the planning, I'm on the planning board, so that's why I'm talking that way, but we will make a recommendation to the council, and then the council will we will vote on it, and see how it goes. And, you know, it's true. I have not. I've been to a couple meetings. I've seen kind of his concept a little bit. It looks like it's going to be a nice neighborhood. You know, it'll be a nice. It's so we'll see what the final plans kind of come out here. So anyway, those are the two biggies coming up. He's got a lot of work to do for the lift station and water and everything else there. So he's not going to turn dirt in 6 months. Anyway, that's all I have. Judy.
I also attended the Habitat open house. Like you said, it was very nice.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think I did any city stuff.
Wes.
I was on vacation, so glad you guys got to do that. And bummed to have missed it, but it's nice to be away. Did attend the Helena Regional Airport Master Plan open house and presentation. As East Helena moves west, they are moving east. So making sure that they are in conversation with Jeremy about potential interests and needs that they have. A lot of good things happening at the airport, and we're positioned well for the future, which is great. So if any of you have questions, there's some information online about the Helena Regional Airport and what their master plan may look like. Did speak with the director of the Department of Commerce about the reappointment of Cindy Brooks and the concerns that we have of that still not occurring. She was reaching out to the governor's office today, but was willing to help, and anybody that'll help is good and nudge that along. And then just a reminder that the Food Truck Festival is on the 14th in Main Street Park. It's the last one of the summer. Joe and Whitney Mitchell have been amazing community partners and have put all that on at their own cost. And so definitely encourage you to go. And then Mike will be carrying it on into September. So we're just going to keep doing it, which is great. But anyway, that's all I have.
Suzanne?
I don't think I have anything to report.
Okay, we're on to the legal report.
Thank you. Things are going good. The case for the city of Helena got a full day jury trial out of that and a guilty verdict, which was nice. The defense attorney's filing follow up stuff, so I'll be dealing with that a little bit. Police officers are doing great. Court's running well here. That's it. Any of your questions?
All right. Payment of the bills.
How will we pay the bills?
I'll second it.
Most of the second to pay the bills, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Right. Next meeting will be August 19th and September 2nd. Other than that, I'll ask for adjournment at 7:30.
Okay. I hope you're all back next time as well. We like that.
Yeah, most of the time we're here alone talking to each other.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. I try.